This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I Grubhubbed one of the best sushi restaurants in Buffalo, and they brought sushi to my son and I. It was great.
At your house?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Listen to this.
And that's a very good thing to have delivered. Because, you know, hot is not really pertinent at all.
Don't eat hot sushi.
Right.
In fact,
I think hot sushi would probably be terrible. Really gross.
Don't do it.
It's Mike Shope.
Fresh hot in neon is not something you see above the sushi place.
Can I get this? No, that's right.
Fresh hot sushi. That is so gross. Fresh hot sushi here.
You get some sushi, you open the lid, and it's like steam comes out.
And the Bulldog.
Please stop.
Right, Ryan? Hey, you ever do that?
I've got nothing
you get
to throw
sushi.
Up in my stomach. But
you open
up
the lid and it's just sizzling like a fajita.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What are you doing in there? I'm microwaving the sushi.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, welcome into today's edition of the Shope and the Bulldog Show. Mike is still away. I am the Bulldog. I'm really bothered by this British Open so far. I know it's only day one, so there's, you know, three more days to go. But this is not the scores are usually low at the British Open. So it's not that the leader is minus five after only one round, and it's a guy I've barely heard of. These conditions are unacceptable. It looks nice there. Like, it's sunny. It doesn't seem real, real windy. The course is playing really long. The rough is forgiving. The greens are holding.
Oh, I see. You want it to be gray.
I want to see Mickelson walking around in a garbage bag. What is this? This is not what I signed up for. This is not the British Open. This looks like the local Muni on a beautiful summer July night here in Buffalo. Paradise. Another beautiful, it's 80 degrees, it's gorgeous out. Another beautiful day here in Buffalo. That's what this looks like. It's supposed to be raining sideways. This is not what I signed up for.
It looks pretty nice.
Yeah, right?
Nice sunset going.
Yeah. It looks pleasant. It's a little wind. I'm seeing the flag stick here on the shot that just showed up on TV, and there's a pretty brisk wind. But whatever. The guys are hitting 360-yard drives because the ball's rolling forever. I just saw a highlight of Poulter hit a shot. Everything is so dry, it rolled through the burn. And then threw a sand trap and just sidled up like right now, just in the fringe of the green. Come on. Yo, that's Lynx golf. Get out of here. I need some howling wind, and I need uncomfortable golfers wearing, you know, rain suits and like sideways rain and those cranes like that. That's and British accents. That's the British Open. That's what I need to see. I don't need this. I mean, Tiger's here. He looks like he's on vacation. This is not what I want to see out of the British Open.
Yeah, whatever. You should never see a shadow at the British Open.
Right.
And Tiger's got a pretty large one on the TV. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not down for this. There's still hope. We've got tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday to hope for awful, unpleasant, hail-like conditions. That's what I hail. I want hail. Do they play through hail? Probably not.
I would doubt it.
Yeah, that's probably.
They should.
I mean, why not? As long as it's not lightning.
Right.
Come on, get out there.
How often do you get
toughen
hail?
Toughen up a little bit, golfers.
How often do you get hail, though, without lightning?
See, I'm not a meteorologist. I don't know, but maybe it's rare.
I feel like it's probably rare, but I am not either, so I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, oh, well, the golf is on. So far, we'll talk to Brian way later in the show. When this round is over, should be over by the time we talk to Brian. And it's going pretty well for us, I think, for Mike and myself on the bet. But, you know, it's early. Anyway, good afternoon. It's nice to have you along with me today. Again, I mentioned Mike is off. We got Joe here. Derek is handling the updates. And Sal is out. Sal will be on a couple of times today because he's out at Ted's Hot Dogs. They've got 91-cent hot dogs. He's at the Union Road in Cheektowaga location. It's right across from Cheektowaga High School. We've been there with our show, I think, a couple of years in a row on this day. Sal is out there today to help them celebrate that. And because he's kind of on duty, we'll have Sal on at 3:30 and then again at 5. And as promised, I mentioned yesterday that you should pay attention to the website this morning, and I hope that you did. If you didn't, don't worry, it's not too late. That stuff never goes anywhere. WGR550.com. Sal dropped a couple of lengthy pieces at the website, full of a lot of information, and I don't need to rank these pieces. One is about the Bills' process of deciding on Josh Allen as their quarterback. And I thought that was really thorough and pretty interesting. And I'm hoping to talk with the audience about that and get some feedback from you folks on it. And of course, we'll talk to Sal about that. And he also talked with both McDermott and Bean about the notion of this being a step back year. And to me, there was nothing really surprising in their comments about what their plans are for this year. I would never, ever expect them to admit. And frankly, I might tell you that I would never expect them to even think that they're going to step back from their 9-7 year last year, but I think the reality might be different. I'm not competing with them. I look at the team and think like they're probably poised for a step back unless they get something really dramatic at quarterback, and in that case, then I think that could really impact their season. In a huge way. And I think Josh Allen represents the best hope for that. I don't think A.J. McCarron nor Nathan Peterman are going to provide enough of what they've been lacking at quarterback. Or maybe it's that they will have negatives that Tyrod Taylor didn't have that will end up washing out whatever they might do better than him. Maybe they'll throw the ball quicker. Maybe they'll deliver the ball over the middle. Maybe they'll throw on time. But I think they may also be prone to, we know Peterman played, you know what happened when he started his first game. They may be prone to more mistakes because of that. And that may wash out whatever you gain in productivity. We'll see. Allen is the wild card there. And I have to admit, as training camp is a week away now, the Bills will be on the field next Thursday. This show, Mike will be back. We will be live at St. John Fisher actually on this day next week as well as next Friday for our only two Rochester shows of the training camp season. As it creeps closer here, I have to admit, despite the fact that I've got this bet with Mike that Allen will play six or fewer games this year, as training camp only creeps closer, like we've not even seen, we being people who don't cover the team, like some reporters who were out at mini camps and OTAs have seen Josh Allen in shorts throw a football. I have not. Fans really have not. We've seen clips here and there, and we've heard about some different throws that he's made. Having not even seen him yet, I have to admit, I'm starting to get excited about the prospect of him playing. And I think that's hard to avoid when you've got, whether it is September or November or December or 2019, at some point, this is the guy. They drafted him seventh. They moved up in the draft to do it. Like, this is the chosen one. For now, this is our new hope, is Josh Allen. Highest quarterback the Bills have ever drafted. And highest pick they've ever used on a quarterback is a more, I think, appropriate way to probably say that. And so, like, I've got this bet that he will only play six games or less with Mike. And I kind of regret making the bet, not because I'm sure I'm going to lose the bet, but because I need to sort of pretend that that doesn't exist, because as camp is closing in and I've not even seen him on the field yet, I can't wait to see him play. Just because, you know, the meter starts running. Like, he gets on the field, and once we get to preseason, and if he gets to regular season and he's playing, then it starts. Like, the clock starts ticking. Like, is he going to be good? Or is he going to be another in a line of failed first-round picks, J.P. Lossman, E.J. Manuel? Trent Edwards wasn't a first-round pick, but he was a third-round pick, and they had high hopes for him, and that fizzled out. I feel the energy, the presence of a first-round quarterback. And that is a different dynamic when you get to training camp, when you've got that. It's different than when you've got a competition between Tyrod Taylor, E.J. Manuel, and Matt Cassel. It's just not the same sort of thing. Even though Manuel was a first-round pick, but like by then he'd already been knocked off that pedestal. He lost his job. He was battling to try to get it back. You know, good luck. I wasn't optimistic about that. It turns out with good reason. This guy is fresh and new. And I still believe it might be prudent for them to take their time with him and let him settle into a certain level of comfort with his footwork or his mechanics, the speed of the NFL game, and like whatever adjustments he's going to have to endure coming from college, and not even big time college, but like smaller, lower level conference college, whatever adjustments he's going to have to endure, it might be prudent to go slow with him. But that's kind of what the genesis of the bet was that I made with Mike that said like he's only going to play six games. My thought was the Bills will respect that. They will probably want to go slow with him and protect him and not put him in a position to look bad before he's comfortable and they're comfortable that he has worked out everything that they feel needs to be worked out. And one of those things is even alluded to in this piece that Sal put up about their vetting process, how thorough they were in looking at Josh Allen. And Brandon Bean in the piece alludes to errant throws. Like, what are the bad throws? Like, why are the bad throws happening? You know? And Bean in the piece alludes to it comes back to his footwork. His footwork wasn't good. He didn't have stable base. And that is a reason that is cited for some of his inaccuracy issues. Okay. And by January, Bean says at the Senior Bowl, he'd worked on that and it was better. And he was also playing with maybe a higher caliber of player at the Senior Bowl than he was playing with at Wyoming. And he was more accurate, they said, at the Senior Bowl and in the game itself and in the workouts. But the footwork is the big thing. And like, I'm not, newsflash, I'm not Mr. Quarterback Coach over here. But I know we've heard time and again through the years about guys needing to work on this or that as it pertains to the mechanics of throwing a football. Arm angle, release point, footwork. Footwork, footwork, footwork. And what often happens with guys is, you know, they'll in the spring there's a new quarterback's coach and we're gonna go to work on Ryan Fitzpatrick's footwork. We're gonna make sure that we're gonna study, and he's gonna see that the throws he misses are because of something he's doing wrong with his feet. So we're gonna work on that, and we're gonna drill him on that, and it's just gonna become second nature. And I think things like that are hard to overcome for guys who've been playing. You know, Allen is still young. He's, you know, a rookie in the NFL this year. He's been playing quarterback for a while. He's been throwing the ball the way he's been throwing the ball for a while. And I think to comfortably overcome those footwork issues, like that's the kind of thing that I think could take time. It may never happen. There's always that. And that might be a case for just, well, whatever. He's going to be who he is. We might as well see. But if they think they can help him develop a level of consistency in that area, and that will help him ultimately be a more successful quarterback whenever he plays, then I would think they would want to take their time with him and make sure that that becomes as much second nature as it had been for him to maybe be sloppy about that footwork and thus have more errant throws than you'd want. Like all that said, like that's what I've expected their approach to be. And I respect that. I want to stick up for that. But I'm here to tell you, a week from the first training camp practice, I'm dying to see him play. Like I just want to see him play. He's the new guy, right? He's hopes and dreams. And if they manage to get him right and that pick right, so much else is going to click in for them. And for us as fans, we'll be staring at, you know, hopefully a really nice stretch of football. Like that's the idea. You get the quarterback and then you fill out the rest of the roster and you're ready to play the feud for, you know, hopefully a decade or so. Or more. So I'm wondering, like, you've heard me talk about it. You've heard me just talk about it now. You've heard me talk about it for months since they made the pick. The project, he's probably going to take some time. I'm not in a hurry. I feel like I'm being gnawed at by a desire to see the guy play. I have to admit, as practice nears, as preseason nears, and of course after that comes, you know what, the regular season, I'm starting to feel a little more, I'm like conflicted about being patient and taking our time and making sure his footwork is fine and get him out there because he's the new guy, he's the first round pick, he was seventh overall, he's got a rocket for an arm, let's go. Like that's me right now because football's about to start. It's a little easier to be patient when it's May. Now it's July and they're going to be on the field soon and I'm getting really, really excited about seeing, like unwrapping him and seeing what he is going to be for the Bills. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers. Would love some feedback from you just on Allen. I've a couple of times, like, you know, directly what I'm talking about here, I'd love to hear your feedback on. I think a time or two since they made the pick when I've been here, and I think it's been on days when Mike wasn't here, I felt like maybe the move was to kind of get a read of the room here, the room being Bills fans, on Allen. And I'm open to doing some of that today, too, because we did have a player here in Josh Allen who was a very polarizing figure in the draft. And there was a lot of, I don't know what they're going to do, but I hope they don't take that guy. I mean, Joe's here in part because of this. I'm kidding. Kind of. I mean, Ryan did this stunt where I'm quitting because the Bills picked Josh Allen. He threatened to do it, and then he actually did it. Turns out, I mean, he was going to quit anyway because this job is not a great job for lifestyle. But I'd love to know from fans, like, how much, if at all, where you've been standing on Allen has changed. I think it's very much two things I'd like to say about that initially here. Once he's picked, like you could have hated the idea, and then once he's picked, he's on the Bills and you love the Bills, and then you start just wanting it to work out and you start being less mad about it. That's not everyone, but I think that's human. It's human nature. That's in the nature of a sports fan. It's, you know, I'd say Bills fans, but I think it's just sports fans in general. I root for this team. This guy's on the team. He's going to matter a lot. Okay, I hope that works. Instead of, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. I mean, if you want to walk around with, oh my God, I can't believe they did that, okay. But I think more people than not like to find their way to a better headspace than that. So, like, I think that's normal to sort of soften. If you were against them picking Josh Allen, and on the night of the draft were really mad, and then the morning after you called Howard and Jeremy and you were yelling about it, and then a few days went by and a few weeks went by, and now it's July, and you're like, okay, well, you know, he's big. And he can move. He's got a good arm. Look, you know, we'll see. Like, so that's one thing. The other thing is what I'm sort of referring to here overall in my comments about being excited to see the kid play. It's coming. And football being in the air, them being on the field practicing next week, a preseason game coming in just a few weeks, you kind of just start to get the juices flowing. And I think it's natural to start getting excited about seeing him specifically play, even if you didn't like his selection. So I'd like to dip into that if you're up for it as well. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. David's going to lead us off here in the 3 o'clock hour. Hi, David. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, Bulldog. You're taking the words right out of my mouth. I would like to add, though, that, you know, I know it's only a week away, but it can't come fast enough. And I know Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are going to go by so slow, I'm going to tear my hair out. So, but I cannot wait to see him play. I think the only thing I'd like to say, though, is that, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to be starting him, which is sad. I can't call that. Nobody can call that. But the way that everybody was talking before in the signs is that, you know, obviously going to groom him and whatnot. But I'm excited to see him play, even if it's just the preseason. With the ones, I want to see it.
Right, sure. Yeah, I'm going to be curious. Thank you, David. I asked Sal the other day, does he get a preseason game start? Like, does that happen? And, you know, if he's going in as the third quarterback, you know which game he starts? If that holds all the way through camp, and I'm not at all saying that I think it will, but, like, if it did hold, then he's the guy that starts the fourth preseason game, and, like, that's just, oof. Like, you'd, I think, rather he show well enough in the first three preseason games that they don't want to expose him to injury by playing him in the fourth preseason game. That's what you want to have happen. I don't know. I'm inclined, I've already said, like, I can view them as conservative in this area and wanting to be patient with him and giving him all the time he needs or they think he needs to sort out whatever mechanical footwork issues he had that were responsible for his lack of accuracy in college. But on the other hand, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, they are at the top of an organization that when this team had a 5-4 record, put Nathan Peterman on the field. So that doesn't really line up with conservative. Now, Peterman, despite his athletic limitations, was described in almost the opposite way of Allen. Yes, he was a fifth-round pick, but he was described as he played in a pro offense. He might be, I think, more than one draft guy heading into the 2017 draft described him as maybe the most pro-ready of any of the quarterbacks, even though he wasn't highly touted. So there's that, but still, playing him in your 10th game of the year while in a playoff race is not cards close to the vest, conservative. It's almost reckless. So, like, do those guys, does Sean McDermott hesitate to play Josh Allen if he looks up to it? I mean, I'm inclined, because of the Peterman thing that happened last year against the Chargers, to say maybe not. So I'm not sure I'm going to win my bet is basically what I'm telling you. I'm open to the possibility of this guy winning the job because of really the competition and maybe they'll feel he's farther along on whatever footwork issues he's had in college. We'll get Sal's thoughts on this. He wrote a long piece. You should check it out for sure at WGR550.com today, tonight, whenever you have time to do a little surfing around. But there's two articles up from Sal today. One, a lengthy piece on McDermott and Bean and the organization's process that arrived them at the conclusion that Josh Allen was indeed the guy they wanted to draft. We'll talk with Sal about that coming up after this. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off, and this is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Indeed, Sal Capaccio is on the AT&T hotline with us live from the Ted's location on Union Road in Cheektowaga. Sal, my man, how are you? How are the hot dogs smelling? I'll assume you've tasted them already today.
That's coming up soon. We have the order in, Bulldog. The right. Order is in. I will taste them. I told you, what did I tell you I was going to do today to prepare? I had to go to the gym this morning,
right?
And I didn't eat much all day today.
Right.
So I'm getting ready for my Ted's fill, and that's exactly what I did. I went to the gym, lifted a little bit, and then I ran a little over 2 miles. Felt good. Hit the steam room, went home, got some work done, came out here to Ted's.
I squeezed in like a 20-mile bike ride this morning. I should have come to Ted's.
Wow,
I should
that
have come
awesome.
To Ted's today.
Good for you. I'm glad. Yeah, you should have. You should be out here.
I know. Well, I blew it. So, listen, I don't know if you were paying attention to the first segment of the show. I did not mention this to you yesterday, but I have to admit that as camp is closing in on us here and we're a couple – when's the first preseason game? Is it 3 weeks from tonight?
2 weeks from tonight.
2 weeks from tonight. Okay.
I'm sorry. Three weeks from tonight. Sorry.
Three weeks from
tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. I'm starting to feel like I want to ignore all the stuff I've said about them being patient with Allen, because like it's so exciting that he's here, and I'm eager for him to win the job. And like we were in a meeting yesterday with a couple of our bosses, Sal, you and I were, and the one guy was like, he's starting week one, and I'm like, no way. And now I'm sitting here today thinking about being out there next Thursday and seeing him throw the ball around. And I'm kind of starting to get pumped to see him take a shot at winning this job.
Here's what's funny to me. I was thinking about this yesterday when we were sitting with our bosses and going through this, the same thing you're describing. It's so funny to me because I will run into fans, I don't know, other media members, people we work with. Just yesterday this happened to me where I will run into somebody who wants to talk about Josh Allen, and they say to me, boy, they really need to get him out of the field as soon as possible. And, like, they're totally, like, that's their conviction on it. So we have a conversation. And then, I'm not kidding you, it might be a half hour later, I'll be talking with some other random person, and they'll say, boy, the best thing they need to do is just make sure this kid sits. And, like, that person is totally, that's their conviction on it. Everybody's got their own way of doing this, and there is no right way. And if you think you know what the right way is, then you far, far and away know less than what you think you know, because it's not true. You don't, there's no right way, right?
No, I mean, that's right.
We've seen it all different ways, and it's either bombed or worked out both ways.
I think, I don't know if anyone would admit this, and I'm not even sure that this is right about me, but there might be a little bit of self-preservation of the hope that he represents that would want you to see him sit. Like, the longer we wait to see him, the longer it takes before we know he can't do it. Do you know what I mean? Like
I agree.
Once he starts playing, and if it doesn't go well, it's like, oh, no. Oh, geez. Oh, here we go again. But if he doesn't play, it's just always, it's like dangling out there. Like, well, you know, we're still going to see what Josh Allen can do. And, like, it just sort of, it's a carrot hanging out there for you.
It's like continually getting an extra first-round pick, maybe, and always having that extra thing to look forward to that you can have instead of being good. There's always that hope at the end of the tunnel. But I will say there is the other side that people bring up, which is put him on the field as quick as possible to let's see if he can what he can do. Now, I don't think that you should make any judgments, good or bad, upon what he does if he is on the field very early. But a lot of people are subscribing to that theory. Put him on as quickly as possible so you know if you need to draft one 2 years from now. I've heard that. Right. I've heard national people say that. And I don't think that's fair. And look, we've seen quarterbacks, you know, just start off and, you know, Peyton Manning or Troy Aikman and, you know, even Jim Kelly in 86. He wasn't great. You could see a lot of flashes. He didn't have an unbelievable year. But we've also seen the other way. The first two games of Ryan Leaf's career, he looked like he was going to be really good. And then after that, he was horrible, and he busted out of the league. So I think you have to be very careful with how you make judgments based on him playing early.
Sal Capaccio on the AT&T hotline with us. He's live at Ted's Hot Dogs on Union Road in Cheektowaga. So the piece that you previewed with us yesterday went up. I think I saw it right as you posted it, like 7 o'clock this morning. And I enjoyed it. It was really thorough. What kind of feedback have you been getting on that piece so far, Sal?
Amazing that the feedback has been, well, first of all, people are like, hey, that's really good insight, and I appreciate a lot of really positive comments from my angle of, you know, putting the piece out there, which I want everybody to know that this was not an exclusive. We talked about it yesterday. There were lots of other reporters involved in this interview. I just happened to take that particular article and narrow it down because I thought our listeners would enjoy it. But, you know, everybody had access in that room to the same quotes that I put out there, just so everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the actual quotes from Brandon Bean, it's funny to me. What I learned today is, I think Josh Allen is still as polarizing of a prospect and player as he was when he was drafted, when I didn't think that was necessarily as much the case. I thought that a lot of people started to think he started to feel the good things and see the good things about him, but I learned today that if people didn't like him, they used the quotes from Brandon Bean today to cherry pick and make fun of him. For example, there was a national guy who quote tweeted my article. I don't remember his name. I'm going to have to go back and look. He writes for maybe the Niners. And he said, or I shouldn't say national, but out there. And he wrote something like, wow, what a horrible way to pick your franchise quarterback that he slaps people's butts on behind during pregame. Well, look, I mean, if that's what you got from the article, then you're just trying to get that from the article. That's not what he said. He was trying to give examples of how he interacts with his teammates and what's important about the leadership of the position. But that's what happened today. In a lot of different ways, people cherry-picked what they wanted to reinforce their own preconceived notions of Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Part of the conversation I'm hoping to have as the afternoon unfolds here is just how much, and I think we've talked about this a couple of different times since the draft pick, just how much your opinion, if it was hard on, like a hard no on Allen, how much that softens as the season starts to creep into view, training camps around the corner here starting next Thursday, and, you know, he's on the team. And for better or worse, like, your fortunes are tied to him. And I think that leads sometimes a certain kind of fan to kind of soften up. If they didn't want him initially, it's like, okay, well, he's big. He can really throw. You know, you sort of start to find what you think might be the glimmer of hope.
I think because he's your guy, I think that's where it starts, right? He's our guy. He's a Bill. I'm going to cheer for him. I'm going to root for him, and I hope he succeeds. And I think that's where a lot of fans immediately get to. There are other fans, though, that I will say, have said they've gone back and looked. They feel better. And some even said the article today gave them renewed hope. Like, hey, I didn't really like it, but this shows me they did the work on him. This shows me they really, it wasn't just about the arm. And then there were other feedback going back to that from people today who said, and I think this could be a fair criticism, by the way. I don't know. I think this is not a cheap shot in any way. I did have somebody say they felt after reading it that Bean fell in love with Allen's arm first and then convinced himself through the process that he was the guy because of that. And I think that could be a fair criticism. I don't necessarily agree. I think they did a lot of work on him. They vetted him pretty well. But I understand why people would come up with that particular feeling and opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that can happen. I mean, you have to, I think it's fair to wonder if you know, the GM of the team is susceptible to that. And you just sort of start fitting all the other stuff in, and you know, a part of how you wrote that is like them watching every throw from his sophomore season, Sal, and trying to estimate what Baker Mayfield would have done in a same situation, or Mason Rudolph was another of the examples cited. Like, how would these players have reacted to this kind of protection, this kind of route, this kind of throw? And like, in reading that, a part of me thought, like, I don't know, how hard do you want to try to excuse a bad throw? You know, like, I don't think that's unfair at all.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point that someone brought up. And I think Jeremy asked a good question this morning when I was on with them. He said, you know, what does that even mean, how they do it? Now, what I think it means
is I'm curious about that
being
too.
Talked about how they had different systems. So I think what he's trying to say is there, okay, in this particular throw, yeah, he had an incompletion where he threw it 20 yards downfield and missed the guy. If that was Baker Mayfield, maybe he would have settled for the really short pass, the open guy, because he's taught to check it down, and therefore that helps his completion percentage, whereas Josh Allen is taught to go after that throw, because that's what we are, that's what we do here at Wyoming, and we're going to go with a little bit more risk and reward in what we do, and that impacts his completion percentage in a negative way.
Okay, interesting. Sal Capaccio on the AT&T hotline here. So how did you come away from all of what they told you about their process? Like, did you feel good about how they explained themselves and how they ended up? Like, it certainly does go a long way to dispelling the idea that, like, I guess it was draft night when Chris Mortensen said Terry Pegula loved him, and I think a lot of fans who were scared of this draft pick went, oh God, they picked him because the owner liked him.
Yeah, I think they really liked Josh Allen. I think he was either number one or two on their board. I think it was Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, or Josh Allen, Sam Darnold. I don't know which order. I'm pretty confident in my own thought, just through talking to everybody listening, that they had these two as the top-rated quarterbacks on their board. So, and I think it's important that the owner likes the quarterback. I think that, you know, is a part of it. He owns the team. He's got to feel comfortable, especially this owner, with what he went through with Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley, and what he felt was embarrassing moments at times, and press conferences, and the way the team was perceived, and videos and quotes all over the internet all the time, things like that. I think that's the piece where the owner had to feel comfortable. As far as their vetting process, I think what struck me is how collaborative Brandon Bean is with his staff. Joe Shane had a big part in this. Sean McDermott had a big part in this. But so did Brian Daboll, and so did David Culley. I mean, those are people that have to work with Josh Allen every day. And how is he going to handle a certain coaching? How is he going to handle, playing in our system that Brian Daboll wants to employ? When I asked Brandon Bean at the Combine how much Brian Daboll's system played into what he wanted to do at quarterback, he said, I'm not going to take a quarterback just because of the system the guy is running. But it's clear that he wants to make sure that the offensive coordinator is okay with the guy and the person, first and foremost, that he's going to be coaching on a daily basis. And I thought, to me, it was really came out how collaborative Brandon Bean was throughout this whole thing.
Sal, do you have an opinion, be it informed over your years of talking to scouts and coaches and coordinators, or just from, watching it from afar, on fixing footwork for quarterbacks? That is referenced by Bean as being something that is largely to blame for the accuracy issues that Allen has endured through his college career. And I think the strongest case for being patient with Allen and not rushing him onto the field in week one is to give him ample time to get comfortable with his footwork being proper and not fall back into old habits.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think for some guys, it can never be fixed. I mean, they have their habits. They're going to do what they want to do. Then they go through a different quarterback's coach every year. I think that's a big part of it. You know, when you talk about having stability, I think that's a big, thing the Bills need. If they're going to work with Josh Allen, I think the stability part is going to be something that needs to be going forward, where he's not being taught one thing from one coach and another thing from another coach. But I think with him specifically, and I talked about this right after the draft with him, after going back and watching him. And as you know, Bulldog, he's an arm thrower, and that's what I've said. He's always been an arm thrower because his arm has been so strong that he's been able to do things other people can't. He can get by with just throwing it a certain way without having to worry about the technique of actually playing the position. That doesn't mean he can't. It doesn't mean he can't do. He isn't willing to do it, and it doesn't mean that he's never had it. It just means that, to me, when I watch him, his line might have been so bad at times, or he was playing with competition or people around him that weren't good enough, that he had to do certain things where I just got to get rid of this ball. It doesn't matter if my feet are set or not. I got to throw this ball right now to that spot. And I think that's where a lot of his footwork was really came apart. So in the NFL, he can't do that. He's going to have to learn to trust his footwork. If he does that at the NFL level, he's going to be in trouble. And he's going to have to learn to understand the finer points of playing the position. And I have protection here. Where is my protection? Where is my read? I got to step there, and I got to actually fit it into a window that is much, much tighter than what it was in college.
Yeah, I'm eager. I don't think I'll be able to tell, of course, but I'm curious, like, how long that process will take for him, and like how they'll feel comfortable in doing that, and then once if he does start playing, whether they'll feel they need to pull him back out because he's falling back into old habits. There's a lot, I think, to watch there. All right, Sal, we'll let you go. Enjoy your hot dogs. We'll all new questions at 5 o'clock. Okay.
All right, I'll be ready for him.
Or at least
Thanks.
Different words. I don't know. Yeah, all right. The Sal Capaccio on the AT&T hotline. He's at Ted's on Union Road in Cheektowaga. His appearance today and always brought to you by Outlet Liquor. Need to stock up. Shop New York's only Outlet Liquor. I've put up a poll. I say that like I'm a hero or something. I put up a poll. I don't know if you can handle it. It's really convoluted. How soon do you want to see Josh Allen as the Bills starting QB? There are four choices. Vote. Vote early. Vote often. Use fake accounts. Use burner accounts. I don't care. Just give me totals. My ego needs to see votes. I'm all alone in here. I'm not really. Joe's here. Derek's here. We're hanging out. We're good. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. How soon do you want to see Josh Allen as the Bills starting quarterback? Said the radio guy in July in Buffalo. I'm Bulldog. Mike has got the day off. This is WGR.
We're not there, so it's always hard to know. But I think we're looking at weeks, maybe. I think they're going to want to figure out who broke into the home, if in fact it was a home invasion. They'll also look to see if McCoy's willing to turn over evidence. You know, he's hired a criminal defense lawyer. They're going to want him to cooperate. And if he doesn't have to cooperate because he hasn't been charged, but if he doesn't cooperate, that will elevate their suspicion.
That is from the Jim Rome Show. That's Michael McCann. He is a legal analyst for SI. Talking about the LaShawn McCoy case, which is, we're into Thursday here. This happened last Tuesday. The news of it broke last Tuesday, and there were some, you know, initial comments, a denial from McCoy of any involvement, some very strong accusations from the victim and a victim's friend and lawyers, and now it's been very quiet. There was a 911 call or a series of 911 calls from previous to this incident, like maybe as long as a year ago, that were released by the police department in question. That happened here on Tuesday, I think, but we're 9 days from this story breaking. And no closer to any kind of clarity, at least that we know of. I mean, maybe it's coming. Maybe it's coming, you know, as soon as later this afternoon. But it's just been very quiet. So anyway, there was some analysis from a legal perspective on that. The Bills report to camp and will be on the field practicing next Thursday. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. How soon do you want to see Josh Allen as the Bills' number one quarterback? Brian is next up here on WGR. Thanks for calling, Brian. You're on the air.
Yes, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Hope you're doing good.
I am. I'm fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Excellent.
Okay, my point on this is that when it comes to Allen, you're going to lose your bet, and here's why. Who's he going to learn from? You got McCarron, who's the backup, and Peterman, who I'd love to see do great, but I'm not feeling it. I feel like he's going to be a career backup. You got nobody there to teach him. You know? They're going to start him third week.
Okay, and is this a good idea to you or no? Sounds like maybe no.
I don't want to see him get hurt. You know, we got some different people on the offensive line.
Uh-huh.
Can't guarantee that, you know, we're going to have the protection he needs. But I'm not in the front office with the Bills. You know, they obviously know a lot more than anybody that's going to call in this show knows.
Well, sure. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
You know, like, when it comes to draft picks, I'm never mad about who they pick. I'm sometimes a little upset about the number that they took him at. I would have liked them to sit back a little bit, but I get the reasoning they took Allen when they did because, you know, no guarantee he's going to be there.
Right.
I think that it's going to be a rebuilding year for us. They can say it's not. They can prove us wrong. last year I thought it was going to be a bad year, and it turned out okay.
Me too. Yeah, I mean, I think, thank you for the call, Brian. I definitely thought that last year, and I'm thinking that again this year, and, you know, we'll see. I think, despite the flaws that had me and plenty of Bills fans wanting to see Tyrod Taylor replaced, I'm not sure that it's a given at all that whoever wins this job is going to be an upgrade. I just don't, I don't assume that at all. I mean, we're talking about a rookie who's got plenty of critics, and then you're talking about a couple of fifth round guys who've, you know, McCarron played a little, Peterman played less than that. I don't know. I just don't at all. I don't assume at all that I'm going to be upgraded at quarterback just because Taylor's not here. And that doesn't mean that Allen will be a bust. It's just starting out, he might make some mistakes and give the ball away some. You know, maybe we'll see the talent and the arm and, you know, what's possible with him, but it will be coupled with the mistakes of youth. And I think that is the number one reason why I would expect to have a tougher year. I'm just not sure that they're going to be better at quarterback, or even like even just as good as they were last year. And I know that's coming from someone who wanted Taylor replaced because I think he was only this good. I'm not sure any of the guys the Bills have right now are capable right now of being this good. We'll continue this conversation as we go here, but we're going to take a diversion here for a bit and talk some hockey. There is still Max Pacioretty still hasn't been traded. Jeff Skinner never got traded. Erik Karlsson is still on the Ottawa Senators. Sean Leahy from NBC Hockey will be with us coming up after this. I am the Bulldog. Mike has the day off today. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.